This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
Welcome to Value Central Podcast, whatever episode number this is. I'm Martin, Paul's here, and joining us, not for the first time, but officially as a member of the podcast, Travis Williams.
He just fought for it to be official so he get his 23 cents an episode.
Well, you know, I'm holding Dewan's 23 cents because he never does an episode anymore.
Yeah, we got to start fighting him 23 cents a week for not having an episode.
I already told him that.
I don't care if he's like Marshawn Lynch and just shows up and is like, I'm just doing this episode because I have to do this episode.
Yep. And he wants to get paid for open bar. You don't get paid for open bar, dude. You get free beer. What more do you want?
Exactly.
I mean,
the open bar is its own payment.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't pay my friends to hang out with me.
Everybody who listens to is paying a little bit of their souls, I'll tell you that.
Don't worry, I'm going to be on next episode. I've got somebody I'm angry about.
I was gonna say I wanted to be on the last episode, but I honestly don't know what episode it was. But I wanted to be on the one that my cousin was on, but I wasn't able to be on that one.
Yeah.
So it was like, finally, somebody good to talk to on there, not just listening to fucking Daryl and Dewan talk about the same goddamn thing they talk about every time.
Uber Eats.
Seriously, those two. They have like their same, I don't know how to relate to you two. I don't know what to compare it to.
Darius was trying to corrupt the one. That's all it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, Paul, what? I thought you don't listen.
I don't. I've been on it.
Those
That's
are just
how
the ones
they
are.
Yeah,
just
they're
bring it out of them.
Travis, you're fired already.
No, he's not fired. He's my Padawan. He can't be fired.
That just sounds dirty. Does that mean you're going to do butt stuff to him later like Nick?
The force is strong in him. Oh, Paul, way to derail. Anyways, yes, so Travis will be joining us, probably not every episode because he's busy, but he'll be on fairly regularly. We're really trying to steal him away from that other podcast, but he's very faithful to those guys.
The Aftershock.
You're talking about Aftershock Settle?
Oh, no, you're already on that, buddy. You're already a regular on that one. I was talking about those other Valiant guys. They who shall remain nameless.
Yeah, I mean, they had me at first. And it's a fun exercise to, you know, dig into those books and stuff. So,
sure.
So I like to participate. But Valiant's my first love, and I just like talking about it.
I like talking about it, too, sometimes.
Yeah, I was thinking, though, I need to pick my kind of tangential diversionary comic to reference.
Mm.
You know,
like the Turtles,
not Batman or Ninja Turtles, but like what I have to choose another one that's like my go-to. So we'll see how that goes.
Well, you can't pick Batman, Turtles, Usagi, or Hellboy, or Sandman, I guess, because Paul and I are reading Sandman now.
Yeah, I'm kind of reading Sandman too. I need to get back in.
Hey, you're reading Wildcats. You should make that your default.
Yeah, well, Wildcats.
What podcast is this? I think that belongs more on that other one that he does that we're not referencing.
This is the Wildstorm Central podcast. What do you mean? Anyways.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Topic dead.
Topic dead? Okay, fine. New topic. Wait. I'm going to make this part of my prediction, but we're going to talk about it anyway. Paul, I know you don't listen to the news, or you don't read the news. Travis, I'm sure you've seen this.
Are you talking about, like, the real news, or...
No, you know, like, comic book news.
I get emails like you do.
Oh, okay. This wasn't in the email, though. This is all over, like, social.
I get social things.
You get social things?
My friends?
Well, I know we've been talking about it on Discord, so... Even though you're the busy guy.
What are we talking about?
The Bloodshot movie. The Bloodshot movie. We got to talk about this.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Should we, though, announce the format of the episode? Our predictions for the year and such?
God, you see this? He's so good.
Did you say format?
He's so good. He's a professional.
He already is like, let's format this episode. Let's put structure to this mess.
Yeah. Let's talk about that. No, we're going to talk about that. So we're going to do the first ever prediction episode. For the Valiant Central podcast. So, I don't know how many predictions do you have, Travis?
Ooh, it's kind of looking like a dozen.
Holy moly. Yeah. All right, I don't have that many. I have like four or five. Paul, I'm assuming, has like one.
I have as many as I make up as I go.
I like the way you think, Paul. You know what?
Seriously, how many things are coming to pass that I have been predicting? I predict stuff the whole fucking time.
Mm-hmm. Retroactively.
Not retroactively. Yeah.
Sure, sure. Anyway, so
so long ago that the Valiant versus Ninjak versus the Valiant Universe comic would come out before the web series. I'm pretty sure I've said that.
You did.
So
it's true.
Times this episode right now.
Yeah. Okay, so let me just say I think it's a great exercise because no one will ever blame you for being wrong. These are not bets. To the extent we go wide and say what we want to happen or like just get silly, like something like hits, you know, it like everybody gives you credit, but nobody's going to hold it against you when you're way off.
Well, I mean, at the end of the year, we'll go over the predictions and we're going to assign points to this. And of course, Paul and I get double points because we've been around for a while and you're new, so you get half points.
Yeah, well, I see how it goes. But I have a lot more than you, so...
Well, see, there you go. So you might make up for it.
Yeah, but see, we have to take his half point and divide it by 12 now. So it's really not worth that much at this point.
Yeah, each of your correct predictions will be 1/24th of a point.
All right, well, that sounds fair. That's good.
All right, cool. So, there's been a couple articles that came out this week. And this is actually part of my prediction, so it's fine. We can start with this. But apparently Valiant is talking to Vin Diesel about being Bloodshot.
Yeah, and we got Batista as the Eternal Warrior.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to be a meaty movie.
It's going to be a Guardians-influenced movie, my friend.
That's right. Yeah, because Vin Diesel was Groot, right?
Yeah, the next cast member to be announced will be Chris Pratt. And then Zoe Saldana is Livewire. You're welcome, Valiant. You know where to find me.
I literally don't know any of those names.
Shut up.
I know Chris Pratt. I really don't know the other one, though.
Zoe Saldana. Come on, bro. Yep.
Don't know. Don't Shame know who that is.
Did you see Guardians?
Mm-hmm.
She's the green girl.
All right.
Gamora.
I was going to call her Gamora, because that's all I know her
well,
as.
Well, I didn't even know if you'd know that, so I just said the green girl. Okay, that's fine. Any thoughts on this, Vin Diesel?
I don't know. It's good to see... Like, legit names tied to it.
Yeah.
I mean, when we heard about Batista, like, he was tweeting about it. So,
that's true.
Like, we even talked about this when this all happened. But, like, that adds more credibility to it. It's not just, like, you know, Dinesh tweeting, we talked to Batista. But not telling us that they talked to Batista and Batista said, fuck no, I'm not doing that movie. Because we're getting a tweet that's like, yes, I would like to do this movie, mm-hmm. essentially. So, but, you know, they haven't. Shown the Vin Diesel tweets saying, I would love to be Bloodshot and have a red dot on my chest.
True.
But, you know, like, getting the names in there gives it credibility. Like, seriously, if the movie comes out, and like, those are already two big names. So, I mean, hopefully the quality of the movie is good, but at the very least, like, you got a movie with names in it, and that's gonna get it attention. I'm sure there are people who go see movies because Vin Diesel's in them. I don't know who those people are. I don't really want to be their friends. But hey, they probably are there.
We're friends. I like Vin Diesel. Yeah.
But you don't go, oh, Vin Diesel's in a movie. I'm going to go see that Fast and the Furious.
No, that's true.
Well, dude, it's being produced by the guy who did Fast, right?
Yep,
so,
yep.
Like, I mean...
So Vin Diesel's just, like,
I'm okay
locked
with it
in.
Something like that, you know? Like,
I'm okay with that, too.
Yeah. Also, I think that you're right that, like... There are enough people who will go see it just because it's Vinny that's in the
Vinny.
Role.
Like, you guys are first name basis?
Yeah, Vinny D. Yeah, like, whatever. dude, I mean, like...
Sounds like somebody in the... What's that show, Jersey Shore? Is he in Jersey Shore? Vinny D?
I'm going to pitch it tomorrow, so...
Sweet.
I'll hit you up on Twitter later.
I like it.
Yeah. So, okay, just to finish the thought, though, is, like, I'm cool with that. I think he's going to have to train pretty hard to do all the fight scenes. But I also have to add that, as many people have said, I don't really care who's going to do it, you know? Like it could be a no-name as far as I'm concerned. All I care is that they announce it and that it's legit. And,
yeah.
And they're just they're starting, and a lot of people have said that. So my prediction for the year is that they will announce or confirm the actor that's going to be Bloodshot, but I don't think they will announce the release date for the film in 2018.
My prediction for the year is that they will start filming this year.
Oh, see, Paul, I like the way you think, because my prediction is a double whammy. My prediction is the Bloodshot movie with Vin Diesel is going to start filming before Ninjak vs. the Valiant Universe comes out.
Let's see, I want another prediction now, too.
I had to do the double whammy. I mean, they're shooting for 2019, which is fine. It's just like a shot in the air thing. Because remember when we first heard about it, Paul, it was what, like 2 years ago now, about the Bloodshot movie and the Harbinger movie. And they were saying 2018. I know, like, all the issues that Sony's been having pushed a lot of the stuff back. But I think 2019 is probably all right.
Yeah, they can even have it out 2018, really. I mean, like, John Wick, that was, like, the director who was supposed to do it before he built or whatever,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
That movie was all filmed with one Steadicam shot. It's amazing.
Yeah, in, like, four or five weeks, I think.
2 hour movie.
Yeah, it took 4 or 5 minutes. Yeah, no, I'm with you, though, Travis. If they do it, I just want to do it right. I saw the article that was talking about this movie, or Ben Diesel, or whatever, and I retweeted it, and my comment was something to the effect of, like, wake me up when it's in post-production, because I think I'm just in a place where I just don't care. You know, like, I'll care when they announce that the movie's coming out.
My prediction is that all the news pertaining to the movie from here on out will actually be concrete.
Hmm. Interesting.
Ooh, that's a bold prediction.
That's interesting. I mean, what else is Vin Diesel doing? He's not going to be Groot forever, and all he says is Groot, so, I mean, that can't take a whole lot of his time, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but he says in every language.
Save money in the next movie by just looping the shit he's already done. They're just going to, you know, like, cut it from the last movie, plug it in different scenes.
Well, I know they're doing another Fast and the Furious, which that's to be expected.
Same thing there. They're just going to cut him out of other scenes from other Fast and the Furious and just plug it in.
Yeah.
Don't forget about Triple X, dude.
He's back in Triple X. I thought he was doing some more. What was that movie that he did? Pitch Black? Is that what it's called?
Riddick.
So is he just redoing every fucking movie he's ever done? Is that what he's doing right now?
I heard he was going to be doing another Riddick trilogy, but they've been talking about that for years also.
Yeah, he's getting a jump on the 2000s nostalgia wave. He did it before it was cool.
He did. Dude, Triple X was the shit when it came out. It was stupid as hell, but it was fun to watch. I mean, I think all his movies are like that, with the exception of the original Pitch Black. The Riddick movies were a little more campy, but the original Pitch Black was kind of like an indie horror movie in some ways, with aliens. I really like that one.
My wife's favorite movie.
Pitch
stop.
Black? Oh.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure.
That's fun.
You know what made me feel old today?
That you're old?
I'm younger than you, fool.
Not by much.
By so much. Travis, how old are you?
I am 33.
Oh, he's a baby.
Got the youngin' here on this show. So I was reading an article about a football player that was considering retirement, been playing for 11 years, getting near the end of his career, you know, starting to feel a little old. And I realized I'm older than him by a year. I was like, what the fuck?
Yep, that's the way it goes, Paul. Quit talking about sports, Paul. All right, let's go to our next prediction. I think since Travis went first. Wait, did you go first? Yeah, you did go first.
Yes and no.
Yes and no. I forced you to go first. Here.
I think you kind of had a Bloodshot prediction. You launched into it. You kind of started the conversation.
All right, fine. So you know what? Since you're the new guy here, I'll let you launch us with your first prediction.
All right. Well, I think this is an easy one. My prediction is the web series gets released and it is well received. 2018.
Wah, wah. All right. I'm putting 3-1 odds on that. I predict, if we want to talk about the web series, I predict that it will come out sometime this year. But I am kind of holding my breath in terms of how good it is at the moment. I don't know if it's going to blow people away. I'm not saying it's going to be bad, but I don't think it'll blow people away.
Is that just because of the perceived excitement, or you know, like that? Because I don't know that there's any reason necessarily to doubt quality, unless they had to change it for some reason. But you know, I don't know what everybody was excited.
I think it's actually got a higher chance to impress people now than it did 6 months or so ago, because the people who were overexcited about it don't give a shit anymore. When it comes out, if they check it out, they're going to go into it with no expectations at this point. People who don't know anything didn't know anything in the first place. So, and that's kind of who this is approaching. Travis, I'm assuming that you've read Ninjak versus the Valiant Universe, right?
Yep.
Martin, did you read it?
Nope.
So, Travis, did you read the little intro part before the comic, like, you know what I'm talking about?
Yep.
Yeah, so it explains basically what the comic is, and it's there to accompany the web series and kind of flesh out the story deeper than they can in you know, live action.
Mm-hmm.
But it says clearly in it that this is not happening in the Valiant Universe. This is like a parallel story. And the whole purpose of it is to get Valiant in the faces of people who don't get it anyways and expose them to the great characters. Hmm. Like, it's literally what it says. So, I mean, we've seen little snippets and stuff. Like, we haven't even seen, a proper trailer or whatever, because they were supposed to show that, and then, you know, it didn't. And rather than address that, they just pretended that it never happened. But I think that it has a high potential to be enjoyable for people at this point, because nobody's sitting there like, it's gonna be great, I can't wait till it come out anymore. You know, those people are just, they don't care anymore.
Yeah, they're gone.
So when they do check it out, they're not gonna be like, fuck this, I'll watch it. And they'll be like, oh, this is actually good.
Yeah, that's a good point, though. I wonder if people like myself, when we do actually watch it, will be completely blown away because of the low expectations.
Probably. I think that there's a higher potential for that than for it to just fall flat.
Yeah, yeah. To be honest, right now I'm more excited about old Vinny D, Travis's friend, than anything else.
And
yeah, I just want to see something, right? Like,
yeah, web man.
Series. Like, people are going to lose their minds at that when that actually gets relieved, though. Like, I think it's going to be, you know, the DCC, you know, extended universe, like, effect, where, like, the thing comes out and they're just so happy to see it on the screen that everybody's just, like, needs to talk about it, like talk it up to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be how it is for the web series. And same thing when they announce whoever is Bloodshot, and they're like, here is the director, and here's the cast. Like,
yeah,
people are going to react. So it just needs to get a little bit concrete.
Sure. They just got to get on it, dude. I mean,
I think that's the key, and that's why I made the prediction that from here on out, all the news on the Bloodshot movie will be concrete news.
Okay.
It's my bold prediction for 2018. The boldest prediction made on this show yet.
I hope you have bolder than that.
Bold!
Alright, Paul. You want to go give us your prediction for 2018?
I just made a prediction. Oh, what my are you God.
Alright, I'm going to give you my prediction then.
My prediction is that another Valiant series that is being brought up from the past, you know, mm-hmm. like a reborn series from the original run, mm-hmm. will come out before Psylord.
Oh, wow.
Ooh.
Wow. That's them's fighting words, Paul.
That series will be Trinity Angels. Nah, I don't really think that. But yeah, there's a prediction for you. Something else will come out before Psylords.
From, like, a revived property.
Yeah, revived property. That's a good way to put it.
All right, so what would be the revived property? So we'd have Trinity Angels, Troublemakers.
Bad Eggs.
But they would not do a Bad Eggs. they won't do that.
Armorings.
Armor, okay. All right. Armorings, I can get behind.
Hardcore.
Yeah, Hardcore. I mean, that's kind of cheating, though, because we had Bloodshot in the Hardcore.
Yeah, but it wasn't Hardcore. It was Bloodshot in the Hardcore.
Yeah, I don't know how well the Hardcore are going to do after Harbinger Wars, man.
All the ones people know are, like, dead, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
Except for Palmer, and he doesn't seem like himself.
Yeah. What else was there? There was that Eternal Warriors, but I don't think that would be coming back either. Shadow Man's coming back, so that doesn't count. There's got to be more, dude. I'm sure we're missing a bunch of it. No, it wasn't. Grackle was that was creator owned. That wasn't Valiant proper.
Ooh, Windjammers. Oh yeah, okay, yeah. There's a lot of stuff there, but I don't remember the names of it because it's not very good.
Yeah,
it's gonna be that blind geomancer.
Oh God, no.
Clay
with the Jenkos and the puffy vest and the bandana.
He was badass.
Oh, Priest, don't bring him back. That would be awful. I hope you're wrong, Paul. I hope you're wrong. Because I'm a Psylords fan, if you hadn't heard. Word on the street says that Travis also likes some Psylords. So let's hope Psylords comes out first.
Yeah. All right, let me respond to that, like, because it's topical. I think the new slate for 2018 will include a Psylords title. I think it will also include Rye and another Savage series.
Oh, Travis, see, that's why you're on this podcast. Because we think, we're like this. That works great. When you do hand gestures, works great on a podcast. We're like this. Because my prediction is that we'll be seeing a new Savage miniseries by the end of the year, along with Psylords immediately after Harbinger Wars, and an as-yet-unannounced Joshua Dysart Toyo Harada book.
Yes.
That's my predictions for the latter half of 2018 in terms of books. Paul, do you agree with that?
Yeah, based on the fact that we know enough stuff to reasonably think that's all going to happen. I totally agree with all that.
Well, look, it's a prediction show, okay? What we may or may not know means nothing.
I predict that what we were told from B. Clay Moore about Savage will come true.
Shh! That's a secret! Damn it, Paul, it's a secret. I mean, you could say the same thing about Psylords, because that was promised at the beginning of the year.
You know how it is. Like, when they, you know, tease something in the Free Comic Book Day issue, that means it's going to come out 5 years later.
Paul. No, from my understanding, it all has to do with Harbinger Wars pushing everything back.
That's interesting. It's almost like they had to have a major shift in plans or something. It's
almost what it seems like. I mean, I can neither confirm nor deny any of this information.
So I was thinking about this, actually. You know, like, if you look back to the Psylords in, like, the VH1 continuity,
mm-hmm.
They're kind of just, like, basically they roll up to Earth, having been away for, you know, hundreds of years or whatever, and they're, like, intergalactic police who are like, hey, we're here to watch you and save you from yourselves as soon as you, like, because you're getting a little too destructive, so this is what we do. We save cultures from annihilating themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So, given how crazy Harbinger Wars 2 is looking, I wonder if they just show up and they're like, "All right, guys, you know, like we're here to like settle all this down." And that's how you introduce them, is kind of like an alien force that's trying to piece them.
Hmm.
Psylord sound pretty douchey when you put it that way.
Psylord is awesome. You shut your mouth.
Rolling in like, we know better than you do. What,
like,
you...
Harada, right?
Yeah.
They do know better. What if they do know better?
Harada has way better color schemes.
Well, I think they do know better, but I don't know if they would show up in Harbinger Wars. Because that's current. How are you can't have the same history where they disappear.
Okay, but there is a Psylord's connection in current day Exo Manowar. Or, you know, whatever, a year from now?
Yes.
Timeline-wise?
Yes.
So Psylords exist right now in some way. Apparently there's Easter eggs in the Exo series, so...
Yes.
I think they're coming to modern timeline and not the...
So, all right, this is kind of a side tangent. I still don't think so. Because of the way that the whole space travel thing works... I think even if, like, Eric were to come back to Earth, it would still end up happening in the future and not now. So even if...
Like 2,000 years from now?
Maybe not 2,000 years from now, but it would still be, like, 10 or 20 years in the future.
The Exo Armors can travel, like, you know, basically faster than light, instantaneous across the universe. So, you know, Psylords could have figured that out, too.
Sure. I still like...
The Vine are able to fly FTL. Like, they fly across galaxies all the time.
Yep.
It's just that they kind of have some kind of weird jaunt in the first couple issues of Exo that's not faster than light that, you know, Arik ends up. Maybe they can't soak up the light rays to run the garden if they're going FTL. Right?
Good point. Is that a crazy theory time?
It's all crazy theory time.
I gotta reread that series, man. I haven't read that in a long time.
I think that was too time travel-y. It just started putting me to sleep there.
Cool story, bro.
Should we talk about Ivar some and how that time travel works?
You mean your
or
favorite thing to talk about?
For Faith in the Future Force?
Oh, snap. Dude, like, did you honestly think they were going to keep that stuff in there?
I'm just saying, they had a hard and fast rule, and then they kind of threw it in the crapper for, you know, an alien from another dimension, and then wrote it out of existence again 4 issues later. Like, I feel like it's kind of a backdoor for them doing it again and just being like, oh, I guess we can do it now if we need...
Well, you know, the problem is most people don't give a shit about time travel, and they get bored by time travel stuff. So just to kind of... They just travel in time and that's all that matters. It just makes it easier for people that read comics.
Yeah, but it's all about continuity. That's part of the bargain with Valiant. Look,
I don't disagree with you, but if it was about continuity, then... We would still have the stuff from the first arc of Exo in terms of time travel, which we also don't.
I just answered that, dude.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm trying to call back to your point.
Yeah.
And all that's gone.
I always wondered about that, and I just answered. So yeah. We're making progress.
Matter of fact, I remember when Diddy even drew a diagram, because we asked him about it on Twitter, and he had a little spiral diagram explaining how the whole thing worked. There's no way I'll find it, because that was like 4 years ago.
Go through your Twitter timeline. Find it.
We're going to get Paul. To the bottom of this.
Let me go back years in my Twitter timeline.
Come on, nobody tweets you.
I'll get back to you in 2020.
No, dude, he's got all the correspondence with Venditti like up in a frame somewhere or something.
It's true. I do have something from Venditti in a frame.
An artifact.
Yes, indeed. I wish he still did the artifacts, man. It's too bad he's not with Valiant anymore.
Indeed.
Shame on Crazy. You, Valiant.
You want to predict that he'll come back in 2018, or not feeling too confident?
I'm not too confident about that. I predict that Venditti will not be returning to Valiant in 2018.
He's got a fat gig writing those Green Lanterns.
Yeah, and now he's doing, they're doing the New Age of Heroes at DC. They're like brand new, diverse characters, like, you know, original characters. And he's doing one of those. It's called Damage. I think it comes out next week, actually. And I think he's got at least one other book that's going to be announced pretty soon. Maybe two. So he's too busy, dude.
Yeah. You know, DC seems to have a good ability at keeping their creative talent that certain other big companies don't.
Well, and you know what the thing is, because DC owns Vertigo, a lot of those guys like to do their creator own stuff, but because DC has Vertigo, they get like first right of denial. So, like, if he wants to do an indie book, he has to pitch Vertigo first, and they decide if they want it or not. I think that's part of their contract. But, dude, like, whatever, Vertigo, on a creator-owned, like, they're not what they used to be, but that's still a pretty big name, you know?
Well, Marvel has what was that called? Their little creator-owned thing that they did for a while?
Yeah, that didn't last very long, I can't remember.
Yeah.
They tried it a couple times. Actually, you know what? Isn't Monstrous... Published by Marvel?
No, it's Image.
It is Image? Okay.
Marvel and Image?
I thought there were some of those books that were being published by Marvel. Like the Mark Miller books, some of them were being published by Image, some by Marvel, if I'm not mistaken. Not with the Marvel logo on them, but I'm pretty sure they were the ones printing them. Although now that Netflix bought them out, that might not be the case anymore. Yeah. All right, prediction. I predict that somebody... will purchase Valiant, or at least make an announcement to purchase Valiant by the end of the year.
You mean like a Valiant comic book? People don't really announce that as often anymore. Like, look what I got today. Here's my haul from the comic shop.
Mm-hmm.
A single copy of each issue that came out.
No, I predict that a bigger company will purchase Valiant. Just to toss it out, we'll just say Sony, since they have the movie rights.
I'm going to say Taco Bell.
Taco Bell will purchase Valiant in 2018.
All for the kids' meal toys. You do know what the biggest news there is, right? Taco Bell bringing back the kids' meal.
It's the moneymaker.
You know, kids want that Bloodshot action figure.
Yeah, yeah.
Squirts blood out the red dot.
No, I just have a feeling that that somebody's got to pick him up. And I just brought up Netflix and Mark Miller. Now that all his comics are going to be put out through Netflix Comics or whatever they're calling that, I think it makes sense for these companies to start
picking. Did you say Netflix Comics?
Yeah.
The fuck are you talking about?
Are you serious?
Yes, I'm serious.
You didn't. All right, so Netflix bought Mark Miller Studio.
I guess that's news to me. I thought that they had bought the rights to his properties for, like, producing TV shows.
No. They straight up bought the studio.
So they straight up brought. First of all, isn't it Mark Millar?
It's Miller.
It's Miller?
Yes.
Because I always hear people say Millar, and I always get corrected when I say stuff wrong.
Yeah, it's everybody. Like that. Everybody says Millar because it's got an A instead of an E, but it's pronounced Miller.
So is that like when somebody orders a croissant, and instead of saying croissant, they suddenly go, "I would like a coffee and a croissant"? Because for some reason, like, that's okay to be a total douchebag and say it like that.
Yes.
Okay.
But yeah, no, they straight up bought the studio. They're doing Netflix comics.
So we're reading Judge Dredd, you and I.
Yes, we are.
As Judge Dredd aficionados here. Jumping to another Sylvester Stallone property that he made a movie of. What was that movie where every restaurant was Taco Bell because that was the only restaurant that survived?
Demolition Man.
Demolition Man.
Yeah.
Yep.
See, that's why Taco Bell's going to buy Valiant.
Genius.
The only one around.
I love it.
And they'll be the only comic company around at that point then.
I love it.
Yeah, dude, they'll make like a quesarito comic. Like,
well, they'll like have like
Rex, you know.
What's that one thing that they make where they take like a tostada, but then they wrap it in a bigger tortilla?
Crunchwrap Supreme.
Sure, whatever. They'll have that, and they'll have a comic surprise inside. So you like, you know, you take a bite, but your bite pulls out a little mini comic book, and then you read it. It's disgusting because it's all covered in beans. But
it turns out that tostada was a comic book. Mm-hmm. No, no.
Now.
All right, so we're not liking this prediction. That's fine.
I'm just getting a little bit hungry here with a bunch of food I can't eat. So
I'm gonna put it a 50-1 odds on this one.
I bet $20 on that.
Nice.
$1,000, here I come.
All right, who's next? Travis, I guess.
All right. Hopefully this one isn't too boring, but I predict metal cover for our collecting Valiant friend for Shadow Man, Harbinger Wars, and Psylord.
I can neither confirm nor deny this prediction because I may or may not know what's happening.
All right.
So without knowing anything, the only one that I would question there really would be Harbinger Wars 2. But the other two, I could definitely see them doing that. And it wouldn't surprise me if they did it for Harbinger Wars 2. But it's like Shadow Man is like it's one character represented with it. Psylords, it's obviously not just one character, but they have like one, you know, they could do one cover that would be symbolic of the whole Psylords clusterfuck.
Mm-hmm.
But Harbinger Wars 2, like, who the fuck are they going to do?
Anybody that's in the damn book.
That sounds shitty. Don't do that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just saying, logically, right? They tend to put on a big launch, right? Like,
yeah.
Number one of the big launches. And
yeah, but Harbinger really Wars 2 is a mini-series. Not,
yeah,
it's not an ongoing. It's an event. Yeah, but they haven't done it for any other events, have they?
It's brand new. There hasn't been an event since they've been doing metal covers.
Secret Weapons, number one metal cover.
That wasn't an event.
Faith in the Future Force, number one metal cover.
That wasn't an event.
It's an event, dude. Like they're probably gonna try to sell the hell out of Harbinger Wars 2.
Yeah,
all those issues are like plus size. Right?
Wait. Yeah. Okay. I don't think so, dude. No metal cover.
All right. I'm just saying it's a good idea. You're trying to juice those sales.
I mean,
so what I hear Travis saying is that they should get phony sales by gimmicky incentives. He likes that.
How interesting.
Yeah. He doesn't want real sales numbers representing readers who want to read the content. He likes gimmicky numbers.
I'm just predicting based on what has been done, you know.
All right, a metal cover. Okay. I will give you 10 to 1 odds on that.
Pretty good.
Yeah, it's not too bad. I have a feeling that they may want to shy away from really gimmicky stuff for a while.
After Quantum and Woody?
After Quantum and Woody, yeah. So, I mean, I get that it's a big launch, a big event, but, you know, it's a mini/event. They've only done it for ongoing titles, and I know ongoing doesn't mean anything anymore, but I'm sticking to my guns. No metal cover. All right, I'll go. Paul, do you have another one?
I predict that I will be buying a new oil tank by the end of the year.
What does that have to do with Valley Comics?
I don't know. I'm just sitting here looking at my oil tank, and I know I need a new one.
Oh.
This podcast. You don't want me down here if this oil tank goes?
Yeah, you'd be frozen.
I'd be covered in oil. Maybe covered in fire. I don't know. I don't know what would happen if this fucker goes.
All right. Well, this is more of a hope than a prediction, but I'll go with it anyway. My prediction for 2018 is that by the end of the year, Valiant will announce a major creator doing a creator-owned series for Valiant set in the Valiant universe. That's not Britannia.
Ooh. Call back to the Nerdy Legion takeover.
That's right. Had to bring it up.
I don't know, man. What's the upside for doing creator-owned, you know? Because there's a lot of places to do creator-owned.
Sure.
Obviously, if it's creator-owned, it can't really necessarily overlap with, like, the larger Valiant universe. And it, like, you know, like, taking our Wildstorm earlier, right? Like a lot of the Wildstorm universe stuff you cannot buy on Comixology because that was such a cluster of creator-owned stuff.
Yep.
And all the characters were overlapping, and so, like, basically, you got to go to eBay to track down back issues. Same way, you got to go to eBay to pick up, like, Solar Magnus Turok comic from the 90s. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. Like, that's not a good business model for, you know, like, a publisher that's trying to have a long-term asset.
So I see your point. However, it seems pretty obvious to me that Valiant's focus is not on digital books, it's on physical books. And so as a result, they want a known name to come in and do a big project so they can get books on the stands and comic shops. And that doesn't affect the resale value of anything else. You know, if you want to find it, you go to eBay or you go to your comic shop and that's it. It doesn't seem like Valiant cares too much, at least to me, about the Comixology or whatever other digital services people use. I mean, yeah, we get sales, like they're on Hoopla, all that stuff, that's fine. But I see other publishers dipping in their toes quite a bit on digital first stuff. But Valiant's message is always about the retailer. Every time you talk to Adam or anybody else, it's always about the comic shop and the retailer. That's it.
Boy, dude, I hope you're wrong because, like, in my opinion, the hard copy market is dying. Like,
sure.
Like, you know, like, look at you, buddy. Like, you know, you used to get a lot of, you're all digital now, right? Like,
mostly.
That is different. And so to be hanging on to, you know, the LCS direct market does not make sense. Like you should be cultivating the digital market first.
Yeah, but you can't sell a 1 in 500 on Comixology.
Sure, you have to work. Somebody's harder, stupid enough.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you could say it's a 1 in 500, even though technically there's infinite number of copies because it's a digital file, but...
Yeah, it can't be copied. You gotta put the DRM on that.
Yeah, I don't know about that. That's not gonna stop anybody either. It's like that... What was that guy? The guy that had the... I can't remember what he made. But he made a bunch of money in a pharmaceutical company and he bought that one-of-a-kind Wu-Tang album. Mm-hmm. That only he's... Yeah, Skrilly. He's the only one that's ever heard it or whatever. Could it be like that?
Yeah, what's really funny is that's exactly what I was just thinking of, too.
See? Great minds think alike, Paul.
Yep.
Yep. All right, that's fine. That's fine. I'm trying to go bold here. I don't want to do...
That's super bold, dude. But, like, what kind of creator? Because they already got Lemire, you know? Like, he's pretty heavy.
Sure.
So who's heavier than Lemire? Warren Ellis?
Oh, I love Warren Ellis or, like, Kurt Busiek.
Yeah, see, like, you know, I mean, they got Kent and Lemire, two guys that were, like, I guess you'd say, like, big indie guys. They've done some stuff for the big two. Lemire's done a lot more for the big two than Kent has. But, like, Kent, I feel like, really, like, entrenched himself in his own properties really well.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like, kind of really made his name there. So if you expand out from there, you either go to the guys who made their names more with the big two, like even if they did other stuff before, like when they cracked it big two, like you know, Jason Aaron, or who's the one that you love so much, Donnie Cates.
Mm-hmm.
He did other stuff, but like his big time moment was like getting his big two chance, right?
Yep.
So you got guys like that. Or you got guys like you, Kurt Busiek, you're just saying, who like he made his name doing his own thing. But I don't know, like, he's done some other stuff and whatever, but I don't know why some of those guys really want to, get into doing something. I mean, even if it's creator owned, like, you know, Valiant's kind of pigeonholing what you could do some because you're doing it in a universe that's really set in rules and characters and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And even if it's creator owned, like if it's in that universe and you're using other characters from that universe, Valiant's still going to have a say on what you can do.
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, they're not just going to say do whatever you want and it's going to be canon. And if it's not canon, then why the fuck do it? I mean, that's like doing a fan fiction, putting on fucking Amazon Worlds or whatever the fuck that is. But,
yeah.
I mean, you can throw a lot of interesting names on that category, like Kurt Busiek or like, Terry Moore, sure. Or like Stan Sakai, or Kevin Eastman. Brubaker is big too, dude.
Paul, I'm surprised you haven't put a prediction of a TMNT Ninja K crossover for 2018.
I've been predicting that for a year, and it's not a prediction because it was promised to me by Dinesh on Twitter, and you know he means what he says on Twitter all the time.
All the time.
It's going to be awesome. It's going to be a TMNT Secret Weapons crossover.
Oh, I like it.
And so they had to develop Secret Weapons first because they had to give somebody for them to cross over with that would make sense.
Sure.
Because, you know, I mean, who else would you pair them with? Like Bloodshot? Ninja K? Like,
Ninja. Right.
I don't know. Like, Ninjak, I think, can make an appearance, but I don't think that it would have worked well in the Ninjak title vein, you know? A little too serious there.
Him and Donatello, bro.
Yeah.
But Ninjak would just want to kill them. I mean, he just likes to kill things.
All right, here we go. It'd be Gilad and Ninjak versus the TMNT. They had that buddy cop comedy thing going on. No, yeah, dude, Ninjak was funny in that book.
Nah, but he still killed everybody.
Yeah, well,
all
you know.
All the time. He's always killing people.
Yeah.
He kills so many people.
He does.
He kills
bad
people.
Oh my God, he kills people
so fast.
He kills bad people, that's true.
He doesn't give a fuck if they're bad. He just kills them. He's a mercenary.
Ouch, dude.
Ninjak,
I mean,
is
come
a
on.
Bad person.
Oh, I thought we were talking about Gilad. All right. Yeah. Ninjak is Stone Cold.
I guess.
So, by the way, I just finished reading Wrath of the Eternal Warrior, which mm-hmm. is the first full series I've reread from Valiant. And it's fucking fantastic. Start to finish, fantastic. Anybody who says otherwise is just wrong.
Cool story,
agreed,
bro.
Dude.
Josh Eaves.
Yeah, shout out to Raul Allen and Fisher Martin.
Mm-hmm. Dude, you can't talk bad about Josh. You didn't record the episode you recorded with him. He can't defend himself.
Right up there. That's his fault for not being on this episode.
I guess that's true.
I told him he has a standing invitation. But no, we are planning on doing an episode with Josh so he could, he and I can debate that point.
Great.
In which I am right and he is wrong.
Oh boy. Alright, who's got the next prediction?
Boy, you agree with me.
Travis, you had the most predictions. Go for it.
I got it. Okay. So, there will be no more issues of Harbinger Renegade. Instead, Rafer will be taking over writing on Divinity.
Wait, is this like an April Fool's prediction or what?
No, I'm serious about the Renegade part. I think Renegade.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even think that they teased a, you know, will return at the end of the last issue. They were just, they just kind of were silent on it. And, you know, it was selling about 5,000 copies at the end, and yep. that's like about when they pull the plug.
Yep.
And the Divinity comment is because they seem to have a knack for taking him and dropping him into a title that's already been super established.
Yeah, put him in the worst spot following like something great that a creator did and taking them off unceremoniously.
Yeah, like basically not set up. Hmm. Like, hey, let's see how you do going up against Dysart and Fred Van Lente.
I would have been fine if he took over Ivar after Fred Van Lente.
Dude, Ivar is pretty... I like Ivar.
Alright, so obviously I feel that your Divinity thing's a joke, so I'll leave that one alone. But I agree with you on Harbinger, dude. I don't think that book's ever coming back.
Yeah.
That's a good one. I'm going to give you one-to-one odds on that.
Because we already know it's true?
We don't know it's true, but I think we can safely assume that it's true.
That was... They killed that, and you know what? Nobody said a word. Everybody's just like, I'm okay with that.
Yep. Harbinger what? Yeah, see, they played it off slick, though, because they gave him that 3-month break between those two issues.
And that was planned.
Yeah, of course it was planned.
That was planned.
Yeah, it was planned so they could work on Harbinger Wars 2. I mean, I'm just saying. Do you feel like I'm wrong? I don't think I'm wrong.
I mean, you would kind of, like take a break like that, completely go back to formula, but you keep the creative team in place. Like, that implies, I think, that they thought the direction was in question, you know, rather than, you know, like who was making the product. No?
I mean, what's the difference, though? If the direction's the problem and the writer's giving the book that direction, then how is that a difference?
I just think maybe the creators were the issue and the direction was the result of the creators that they had in there.
Yeah, I don't know about that, man. I just think that Harbinger needs to be a focus for Valiant because of the movies. And when you're setting up a property to be a major motion picture and that book is selling peanuts, and everybody complains about it because it's not Dysart or whatever else. And I understand having Derek Robertson on there. Paul and I have talked about this. I think Derek's art is not what it used to be. And sure, he's got name recognition for a certain subset of comic fans, but to that same point, it just wasn't there. And I think the direction Rafer had was an interesting one, but again, it wasn't making Harbinger a tentpole, we shall say, of the universe like it needs to be. And that's why we had to focus out of whatever that direction was into setting up Harbinger Wars 2. Because that's going to be something that people are going to be talking about. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, but I also think that the quality of the product is relevant. Like, I would argue right now, Secret Weapons, like, they put a flagpole in, became a tentpole. You know, like, Secret Weapons is a tentpole that is going to hold up Harbinger Wars 2 right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's because people saw that and they're like, wow, writing and art blew everybody. And that's why I think half of all of that's going to be Secret Weapons focused stuff from Raul, Patricia, and Eric.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Dysart when writing a Harada book, like that would be a tentpole of Harbinger Wars 2. And maybe we'll see when he actually comes back. But, you know, like, I think that there were issues with the mechanics of how the Renegade series was delivered, you know, and changing direction, if that was done, really, I don't think did them any favors because the second arc was super disjointed.
Yep, I agree with that. But I think the writing kind of goes on the wall when you start changing things a lot, right? So, I mean, Rye always had the 3-month break. Nobody complained about it. Harbinger Wars or Harbinger Renegade did that and nobody really complained about it. Although, I mean, I think they knew from the beginning, maybe they wanted to go a different direction and that's why they had the name change on the series. Then you had the break to shift the focus. And then now, I mean, even with the typical break they would have had, they should be coming back to regular stories right before Harbinger Wars starts, and that's not the case. Instead, what they've done is add the extra secret weapon stuff, the Zero issue, the Double Zero issue, and then the Harbinger War Zero issue. So I don't know, man. And I think the Free Comic Book Day stuff is Harbinger Wars related also. So I think when you start seeing something like that, that's how you know they're just kind of done. And I almost feel the same about EXO. Like, I don't feel EXO surviving 2018 either.
It's kind of unclear how long it's designed to last, you know?
Mm-hmm.
They haven't been explicit on that, but I could see it ending before the year and not due to sales, because I think it's one of their strongest sellers, but it just, I don't know how long that story is going to be, especially if certain people are already expressing a little bit of fatigue with the story.
And my concern is that it's going to start suffering from the same thing that Inject suffered, and Unity suffered, where you've got a story, but then you start adding all these one-shot issues and changing the focus a little bit, and that kind of takes away from the main story, right? Because, I mean, the last issue of EXO wasn't about Eric at all, and that's kind of what started happening with Ninjak and Unity. And then sales started dipping. People kind of started losing interest. And the other thing is, you know, the first 12 issues, Valiant pushed really hard, and even that's changed, because I don't think issue 10 was supposed to be a one-shot. It was supposed to be part of the third arc. Or the fourth arc, and that's not the case anymore. It's more of a self-contained thing. So, I mean, I understand the story changing and evolving and the publishing schedule changing and evolving, but at the same time, it starts calling into question a few things, for me at least, that maybe some people don't pay attention to because they don't care about that stuff or they haven't been reading comics long enough. But, you know, when you're reading comics for 25 years, you kind of start seeing patterns and things. And to me, it's a little worrying.
Yeah, I mean, at least it still sells well. So, you know, I just hope that they can tell a complete story and not rush too much. Because I like a meaty story, a substantial thing, you know. And if you're not struggling on sales, I don't...
But the thing is, like, how much of those sales are true? Because they did pre-order bundles for the second half of the series also.
And the third.
So... I mean, that skews the numbers a little bit. I understand it gives them better sales, but at the same time, it doesn't really tell you anything about how people feel about the book. Because usually once you get, like, you know, 6-7 issues in, you start seeing the drop on a book. I don't know. I mean, like, it's holding steady at a point, but of course it's going to hold steady. You got pre-orders. I don't know. We'll see. I hope the book continues.
When they announced the book, right, they kind of rolled out the year, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like around 12 issues, whatever. Like, this is all planned or whatever. And they didn't really say what was after it.
Yep.
So, you know, that can go any number. Same thing with, like, Bloodshot Salvation. When they rolled that title out, they kind of put out an article that almost lined up the multiple arcs of that series and told you what was going to happen in each arc.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember that going to around 12-ish. So 12 might be kind of the new, like, target, and you get more than that, you're just lucky, you know?
Yep. That's cool. I'm good with that.
It affects the story that you...
Yeah, I mean, to an extent. But then that just means that you need to be a better writer when you do your stories and make sure that... I mean, dude, all right. I always complain about the 4-issue arcs. I think 4-issue arcs are a terrible idea. I'm surprised the 3-issue arcs are working okay for EXO. Because I don't think 4 issues is enough to tell a story. I think you need a minimum of 5 and preferably 6 issues to tell a full arc. I understand that the market maybe doesn't support that in some ways, but at the same time, if you are writing shitty stories because your writers can't tell the full story in the amount of time that they need to make it in, then part of that is your fault as a publisher. And this is not, I'm not picking a Valiant for this. Every publisher does it, except indies. I mean, the indies will stick as long as it takes you to do the story. You need 5, 6, 7, 8 issues, and that's what you take.
Yeah, or like 5, 6, 7, 8 years to tell a 4-issue arc, you know, like Black Mask.
Come on, dude. That four-issue mini only took 2 years to come out.
It was a fast one.
And it's really good. It's a good book.
Yeah. I'm just kind of arguing for an extended series because I think we'd all agree some of the best series they've ever had since the relaunch would be, like, the original Exo, the original Harbinger, original Archer and Armstrong. Those are all 25 issues. And if they had to reset after 12 and take a break for 2 years and then pick it back up, they wouldn't have been the same story.
Yeah, sure. But I think that those also had the best ability to... They had the most to work with. They were... they had all the source material to draw from, of course. But they were they were new to everybody. They were the launch, so they were... there was no getting tired of anything right off the bat. Like, everything was so new that you could go so long with it before it even felt like it had been around at all. Mm-hmm. But now we're at the point where just Valiant has been around long enough that when you look at how series have come out, if it's something that's continuing from something that else that's happened, giving it that, like, 12-issue run at most is just kind of capping the stories off into segments. It's not, you know, it's like, we've had Bloodshot that ran long. Then we had Bloodshot Reborn that ran less. Now we got Bloodshot Salvation. If that caps off after 12, well, Bloodshot's not going to go away. They're just going to tell the next Bloodshot story after that at some point.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at the other stuff that's worked really well, like, it's been a lot of short pops of stuff. You know, the four-issue miniseries have done really well for the most part. I mean... Look at what Divinity has done. It was a 4-issue miniseries. Then we got a second one. Then we got a third one. So we knew going into the second one, they already had, like, okay, this first one was so successful, we're definitely going to follow through to the third one. Like, that really had that feel. Whereas when they got to the end of the first one, it felt more like, okay, now we know that this was successful enough, barely. So now, like, we're going to, like, let you know it's coming next, but it's not, like, ready to roll.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so it's not the same thing to say that, like, if a series ran 25 or more issues today, that's not the same as those first four titles running 25 issues. Because even at that same time, nothing else made it that far. Shadow Man didn't make it that far. Quantum and Woody didn't make it that far. Eternal Warrior didn't make it that far. Like, nothing else was able to make it that far. They had the four best things that were the four things they started with made it that far. And then Jack has.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
And Ninjak was weak at points.
Ninjak was weak on a lot of points.
I still like Ninjak. Come on.
I love Ninjak. They were still weak points.
I like Ninjak too.
And I'm not even saying that the arcs that I'm calling weak points weren't good stories necessarily. I'd have to go back and reread them to be honest. But they fucked up the flow of the overall series because they didn't belong where they were put. You know, it's like the Shadow 7, like the first couple arcs were great. And then it's like, let's go to the dead side with Punk Mambo. All right, we're back to the originals.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to the dead side again, but this time they're old and it's Eternal Warrior. Back to the original story. Now let's have somebody else write it and make it shitty.
What?
That was just one issue.
No, I like that issue. Sorry, I thought you were talking about Christos Gage. I was going to have to fight you.
No, Christos Gage is awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, prediction time?
Sure.
Okay. I predict they will announce an Archer and Faith miniseries co-written by Jody Houser.
No,
and
just Fred stop Van talking. Lindsay. No, la la la. I don't hear you. Cut his mic.
All right, let's hear this, Travis. Jody Houser and who?
I think
Fred Van Lindsay.
My valiant fanship if that happens. Let's just turn the screw even harder on Paul's favorite shit.
Hmm. Okay.
Then the next thing you know is they're gonna have like Bloodshot written by fucking Garth Ennis or something like that.
I'd be good with that.
Steve Dillon.
I'd be good with that.
No, fuck that.
All right. So nothing against Jody, but why couldn't it just be Fred?
Because Fred's not. So obviously he can't write a girl. Don't you know this from when he wrote Gen Zero? He's not a high school student, so how can he write a high school student? Well, he's not a girl that can fly, so how can he write a girl that can fly, Martin?
Well, then Jesus, he can't write Archer then either.
No, he is a small blonde child that has an acoustic memory.
All right, well, if somebody's going to write it, I think it's actually more likely Jody than Fred.
Mm.
So I think Fred is the question if that were going to happen.
Didn't Marguerite Sauvage write the Faith Wonderland special?
Yes.
I tap her for it. That's who's going to be.
I like it.
I hope not.
Oh yeah, you didn't like it, did you?
You gotta tap her for art. That's a better bet.
I'd be okay with that. I wouldn't mind seeing an Archer Faith book. I don't know.
You gotta have faith in there somewhere, right?
I don't need to have faith at all.
I would sort of like to see a book with Archer where he's a badass again instead of, everything he's been since Fred Van Lente's run of Archer and Armstrong.
You want, like, another Archer in Escape from Gulag. Or, like, Archer in that that last arc after the Sect War. He was pretty awesome then.
Yeah.
I want him being Archer and not being, like, you know... Like, why do we need to play up the naive young person trying to be normal side of him? Like, if I want to read about people trying to be normal, then I'll read about normal people trying to be normal.
That's boring.
I don't need to read about Archer who can access the Akashic Record so he can fight like a badass, constantly just going on fucking dates. Like, it's okay for that to be an aspect, but seriously, what has he been since Fred Van Lente's run wrapped up?
It's a good point.
I mean, you're talking about besides the Brilliant Portrayal and Dead Drop?
I've never
heard of this Dead Drop.
Didn't happen. Alternate history. I don't think Paul wants Valiant to diversify, that's all. That's why he hates your idea, Travis.
Yeah, well, if they're gonna diversify, they need to grow the line. Because right now it's all core stuff.
Nope, so they don't need to grow anything.
So how are they gonna diversify?
They need to put out the best five or six fucking titles they can put out. The best writer they can find, the best artist they can find, best colorist, best letterer, whatever.
Maybe they could diversify by creating new characters, like Divinity, or like the characters in Secret Weapons that are great characters, mm-hmm. and that fit different, you know, personalities and stuff like that, rather than take the characters they have and make them be somebody different.
Yep. Dude, Valiant owns like 2,200 characters, and right now the most interesting ones are new characters.
Yeah, but 2,100 of them are dead hardcore members. They are the stormtroopers of the Valiant universe.
Mm. Go ahead, Travis.
Oh, jeez. What was I going to say? I lost my train of thought. Sorry.
Way to go, Paul. You blew his mind.
It's about time to try to blow it all up.
I got it. Okay, so prediction for 2018, like, will there be a new original Valiant character that takes the world by storm, and will it be a female character?
Is this a question or a prediction?
I'll make it a prediction.
Okay. I will say no to both.
I will say yes to one. Which one? I don't know. I think they're going to keep on making new characters. It may be kind of hard for them to introduce something that's meant to be big, you know? Like, where's the spot where, like, the next Divinity-size thing would fit in? That they have a lot of emphasis on it going into it. But... Psylords is Psylord.
Yeah.
And that's... original. Yeah. That's what I'm saying, though. So we got Harbinger Wars 2. We know Psylord's coming somewhere there. Shadow Man is coming. Where's the point where they have a new character that they're going to put that big of an emphasis on? I don't know if there's space for it in the rest of this year with the stuff that we already know or at least have a strong sense is coming.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, there are the times like when they have Punk Mambo number 0. And it just resonates. And there's a new character. They give them a one shot to kind of give a little bit more to them. And everybody wanted more, you know? So that stuff does happen sometimes, unintentionally. Well, I mean, intentionally, but like the size of it is not expected. That's a better word than saying unintentional. So I think that, you know, they're going to keep introducing new characters. I think over the course of a year, it's safe to say that of the new characters they introduce, at least one of them is going to be something that everybody wants more of. And the chance that it's female, I think, is probably equal to the chance that it's a male character. Even though they're probably going to introduce more male characters, they you know, they don't introduce female characters that don't mean anything either. You know, I mean, it's like the characters they introduce, there's more male characters that are fodder, I think, than female characters that are fodder.
Well, I'll split the difference, and I'll just say it's going to be a transgender character. Then we can cover both spectrums.
I don't think that's splitting the difference. I think that's like betting double zero.
Wrong podcast.
Well, that book's ending, so, you know, somebody's got to pick up the slack.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When did we switch over to ACP? Started talking about alters. When everybody got all quiet. You ruined it. You talked about ACP, and it killed everything.
No, I messed up my headphones. I had to fix them real quick. I couldn't hear anything.
It's been ACP the whole time, Paul.
Yeah,
I went upstairs to tend to my family, and I came back down to the basement, and my headset was really fucking cold.
Mm.
It was uncomfortable to put back on.
It's because you have a cold heart, Paul.
It's because I'm in my basement.
Excuses.
Which is where I keep my heart so it doesn't warm up too much.
Excuses. No, yeah, I think my prediction, we're not going to see any new major books announced in 2018.
Announced or launched?
Launched.
I think they'll get announced.
Yeah, announced maybe, but not launched. And I'm not including, like, you know, Psylords or Savage or anything like that. I'm talking about, like, original stuff. Like, we're not going to see another Divinity or another War Mother or anything like that.
Yeah, we're not going to see something big and new like that.
Yeah.
Because we know that there's some big stuff that we have coming, and we know that there's some other stuff. Like, Psylords hasn't been nailed down yet, but there's a good chance of that coming this year. Or Savage, same thing. There's a good chance it's coming. But yeah, I don't see them doing the next Savage, Britannia, Divinity, like any of those, like that weight of thing. Yeah. We don't really need more Britannia unless they, you know, maybe do it good next time.
I'm good with more Britannia.
I'd like it if it was just, you know, better.
Well, I mean, I'd like it more if it was more Valiant. Like, there's nothing wrong with the book. It's just, why is Valiant doing it?
Yeah, exactly. It's not bad. Just, you know, Peter Milligan-y.
Oh, come on.
He's a B player.
Hater.
Reap is pretty legit, though.
Yeah, Reap is reaping it up. All right, what other predictions you got, Travis? Because I don't have any more.
Travis has 17 more.
Okay, I'm on the fence about this one. Let's predict that Eternal Warrior will return from the dead this
year. Mm.
Wait, is he dead right now?
Yes. I mean, you just read Wrath, didn't you?
Yeah. Is that where it left off?
No, and then we had, what's that book? The Book of Death. No, the Book of Death was before, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is Wrath the last that we saw Eternal Warrior?
Yes.
I lost sight of that. Yeah. I would like to see him return.
I don't think we'll see him return. Not this year.
I would like to see him return, though. I would like to see him in Shadow Man.
If they were going to bring one kind of, pre-existing book back, I could go Eternal Warrior and see him with Tama over, like, Archer and Armstrong coming back in terms of likelihood.
Archer already had two runs.
So did Eternal Warrior.
Yep.
No, yeah. Not in Valiant Eyes. In Valiant Eyes, it had building blocks for Rai, and it had a one run.
No, dude, it was two runs. You shut your mouth. I'm with you on that one, Travis. I think that's what's missing with that book. They need to do a Eternal Warrior Geomancer book.
Well, they built her up all kinds of when Rapture, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, she's ready for a series where she orders Gilad around.
Yes. I don't know if I necessarily want that either. I don't know. I'd have to think about this one. It just seems like she just kind of gets thrown in with Book of Death, and now she's just kind of the Geomancer. And there's nothing to take you from one thing to the other, from one piece of the puzzle to the other.
Clearly, we need a book where Tama becomes a normal girl and goes to junior high and tries to fit in and doesn't know why she can't get along with all the other girls.
I don't know. I might read that.
That's obviously what we need, because that's, you know, the soul of her character.
Written by Jody Hauser.
Yes. Jody Hauser with... I can't think of somebody else who I don't
read. With Brubaker. That much.
Brubaker's good.
He is. He's great.
Yeah.
He's great.
I'd read Brubaker writing something.
You should go read The Old Guard. God, that was good. Travis, did you read that?
No, I have not read.
Oh, shit. This podcast is over. Go read The Old Guard. Yeah, it's good. It's over this way.
Is it on Hoopla?
I don't know.
Somebody suckered me into getting 52, so I gotta read 52.
We're all reading 52 right now.
Everybody. Travis, you're reading 52?
Nope.
All right, that is now a requirement for this podcast.
As soon as I finish Wildcast.
No, you're doing Stormwatch after that.
I don't think I gave options. I think I said, do this.
Oh, man. All right, let's do one more, and then we're going to call this podcast a show or something.
All right. Anybody got one?
Sure. Paul, do you have one?
I'm cold. I'm losing the ability to think.
Okay.
Oh, I got one. Okay. The Valiant Podcast will not post any new episodes.
I got a better one. The Valiant Podcast will just post episodes where they take things that we've done and re-edit them with them interjecting and call it their own thing. Just like they did with their Eric Heiser interview.
It's true. And he only had Valenti on there because you and I could never get together with him.
It's going to be really cool when Daryl releases his Sandman podcast.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Well, you know, they have a Doctor Who podcast now.
Yeah.
Sorry, Travis. This has been a joke all week.
We need to combat this, and we need to start a Star Trek podcast.
Well, it's funny, too. I was talking to Ronnie today, and I said, I'm going to start a bunch of new podcasts this week. I'm going to do AC Noise, Go Stargate Yourself, what is it? Culture Rapping. And I thought I had one more, but I can't remember. Yep.
He's going to be on them all, right?
Who, Ronnie? Probably.
Yeah. Apparently,
he's got nothing better to do.
He's really, like, taking one up on me of starting a ton of podcasts and not being on them.
No, he actually shows up to his podcast, Paul.
I don't know.
He does.
I've been on that wrestling podcast a lot of times without him.
Well, that's because he's doing other things.
That he occasionally shows up to. He is the black mask of our podcast network, that's for sure.
Ronnie Barron, the black mask of the Nerdy Legion.
I think the DC one is the only one that he's like always on, right?
Yep, he's always on ACP. He only missed last week.
I thought maybe it was just like a batch of time that he was missing, but it seemed like you guys hardly put that out for a while.
No, we've been pretty regular with it the last couple months.
Like the last couple months. We've been pretty regular with this podcast for the last, 3 years.
3 years.
We don't just do a couple months at a time. we don't do two episodes over the summer and call ourselves a podcast.
Little known fact, every show we do is a prediction show because we record the year's worth of episodes in one sitting.
Yeah, it's a long haul.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, it just takes 2 hours, but we edit it into 52 hours of content. It's pretty it's pretty awesome.
Pretty impressive, ain't it?
We spend more time editing bullshit into other bullshit than anything else. Our editing skills are amazing. Everything else is pretty subpar.
Oh my god, Paul. We have an anniversary, and we forgot about it.
Yeah?
Yeah. Tomorrow is actually exactly this podcast 3-year anniversary.
I knew we were right around it.
Yep.
Happy 3 years to us.
Happy 3 years to us. And to you too, Travis.
Happy 3 years to us.
Well done, Travis. Well done.
Not awkward at all.
Oh, man. Anyways, I think we're done. We're done. Travis, thanks for coming on. It's been a pleasure. I know Paul's not glad, but I'm glad that you're on this podcast with us now.
Well, I'm glad too.
Oh, yes.
This is taking an unpleasant turn here at the end.
This is perfect. You've been trained well, young Padawan. I guess that's going to be it then. We're going to wrap it up. Let's thank our Patreons at patreon.com/Valiant Central Podcast. Tim T, Justin E, JL, Mike C, Billy D, Williams. What? Michael S, Julian F, and Ronnie B. Thanks for supporting the Valiant Central Podcast. If you want to get episodes early, if you want to get extra content, head on over to patreon.com/Valiant Central Podcast. You've been listening to the Valiant Central Podcast with Paul, Travis, and Martin. Thanks for listening. Paul's at Who's Paul. Travis is at The Great Magnet. I'm at Geekvine. The show is at Valiant_Central. And you can find Travis on another podcast, but it shall not be named. Now you can go to onlyvaliant.com. Oh yeah, you can find him at nerdlegion.com/podcast/ACP for the Aftershocks Central Podcast. And that's it. We'll be back next week. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.